This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Dean Radin on the Paracast this week, author of Real Magic, and I interrupted him unceremoniously in the middle of a phrase because we have those inevitable interruptions. Dean, please continue.
Well, Don had raised this question of a book that Ingo Swann had written called Penetration, which is very, very bizarre. And so my comment was that I knew that Ingo's actual psychic ability was really superior, in which case, and because we're able to verify it, but we're not able to verify what he was talking about in the book Penetration. But I've heard from other psychics that what he was talking about also happened. So I don't know. As a scientist, I want to be able to verify claims, and in that case, I don't have any way of verifying it. So Don, you could explain what the book of Penetration is about.
Well, it's basically his journey from civilian life, if you will, into SRI and a group of incredibly talented psychics, the likes of which included Ingo himself, people like Pat Price, others. And as he proceeded along, and of course he was a natural psychic, his psi talents really seemed to blossom. And they included everything from remotely viewing, I'm trying to recall, I believe it was the trip out to Saturn. He was able to remotely view things that later were verified through photographs that were sent back. But some of the more bizarre stories included an ultra-black, ultra-top-secret, allegedly, now I've got to say, I wasn't there, but a group of intelligence people that took Swan to a undisclosed location with the idea of remotely viewing an unidentified target. And they were paying him, for that time, a fantastic amount of money, $1,000 a day, to remotely view this target. And according to what Swan said and what he wrote about in his book, it ended up being the far side of the moon and what he described as some type of base that was there, set up and operating with entities there. Swan went on to state that as he was remotely viewing this, he had no idea what he was looking at. These entities allegedly acknowledged that his presence was there, and it terrified him. Of course, there were many other stories that he relayed in the book, but that was one of the most shocking, I think. Anybody that's read it will understand what I'm saying. I had occasion to have a rather extended, my wife and I and Ingo Swann and one other person, to have an extended dinner with them out here in the L.A. area. The dinner lasted about 4.5-5 hours, and I got to say that when we were done, my personal opinion was Swan was the real guy. You know, my background, I was a criminal investigator and a detective, and I've interviewed over the years many, many, many people. I never once detected any attempt to deceive me. Now, that's not to say that I couldn't be deceived. I got a sense that he was telling it just like it was, Dean.
I agree. And that's why it's so difficult to know what to do with it. I remember Ingo telling us that story before he actually put it down in print, and similar stories, other stories about UFOs with inhabitants that were able to detect that he was there and wanted him to go away. And I've since heard very similar stories from other expert remote viewers. But again, there's no independent way of verifying whether these stories are real or some kind of strange hallucination. We just don't know. In the case of Ingo and others like him, because some things that they say they can do are verifiable or were verifiable, it raises at least the credibility that what they're talking about is real. And you mentioned about his viewing of a planet. It was Jupiter. And the startling thing about that remote viewing was that he said that there were rings around Jupiter.
I'm sorry, you're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
And we didn't know that there were rings around Jupiter until the Voyager spacecraft got close enough to be able to see them.
When people say repeatable, the thing is that you've got somebody who's, first of all, we don't send probes to Jupiter that often. How do you even consider that, you know, when you're dealing with a one-off where you've sent a probe and then somebody is supposed to use that as a remote viewing target? I mean, it's the same problem that we have, you know, in more prosaic with the climate change. They ask for something that's repeatable. Well, what about just collecting a lot of data that you can analyze later and determine whether or not something was actually, a correlation was real?
Well, the answer is that in the case of remote viewing, you can calibrate whether somebody's reports are correct or not correct. You do experiments in a laboratory where you're able to test whether or not they're on a hot streak. And if they are, you then can target them on something that may take a while to get the data, like viewing Jupiter. But if you are viewing something that you can't get information on, like if you target somebody on what happened on Mars a million years ago, we may never know the answer to that, in which case the information might be fun to listen to as a story. If we can't verify it, then it remains a story.
It's the orbiting teapot, Bertrand Russell's. You can never disprove it. So, but I mean, you know, the whole point of him choosing the target was that the probe could verify what he was saying. I get frustrated when I hear the word repeatable. It's like, well, okay, this is kind of a one-off thing. Well, what are we going to do? Send another probe and have another Ingo Swan do the same experiment? I guess what you're saying is that we would need to scale the experiment to something that we could do repeatedly, you know, in a laboratory.
That's why Jessica Utz, when asked about her opinion of these phenomena, it's not based on one-offs. It's based on lots of repeated experiments that are done in the laboratory where you know for sure whether the remote viewer was accurate or not. I mean, that's how you know. When you start doing speculative viewings of things that may or may not be so, it remains at the level of story. But at least in the laboratory, you can tell whether somebody has a talent or not. So anyway, to get back to magic, the point of the book Real Magic is to say that when you start studying psychic phenomena and you get to a point where you recognize as a scientist that these are real phenomena, immediately the next question that comes up is, well, how do you explain it? How do these things work? And so that's the question that sparked my interest in writing a book about magic, because it turns out that magic, the practice of magic and the practice of psychic phenomena are basically the same thing. We know a fair amount from a scientific perspective about psychic phenomena. And then you can take that knowledge and cast it back into this esoteric tradition and get clues to help explain why the psychic phenomena work. That was really the underlying theme in this book.
So how does this fit in with the quantum mechanics and the observer problem, I mean, versus the measurement problem? There's a lot of controversy on this topic. I'd like to get your take on that.
Well, the observer effect or the measurement problem in quantum mechanics is not the answer to how psi works. What it does is it reminds us that our understanding of the nature of the physical world is not complete. We're at the very beginning of understanding the nature of the physical world, and the measurement problem or the observer effect suggests something which the esoteric traditions have been saying for at least 5,000 or 6,000 years, namely that there's some aspect of consciousness which is related to how physicality works.
So where do you fall on the side of, like for instance, Bell's theorem? In other words, do you have a hidden variables assumption that you're drawing into this discussion?
No, I'm saying that our understanding of quantum mechanics today is a inkling about the nature of the physical world. It's not as though we've reached the end of physics. We're just starting to understand the nature of physics. And the deeper that we go, both in terms of deepness and understanding and also deep in terms of how small you get, almost everything that we think we understand from a common sense perspective is blown out of the water.
with Gene, Dean, Michael, and Don. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security. Maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're having an enjoyable session with Dean Radin, author of Real Magic. Let me ask you a question here, which is maybe silly or not. But how does traditional science reconcile with magic?
Oh, that's an easy question. The answer is it doesn't. From a conventional perspective, magic is used as an insult If you don't like your colleague's theory about something, you just say, well, that's magical thinking. It's really used as an insult because the implication is that magical thinking means that something happened for no reason at all. And, of course, in science, that's the opposite of what you're trying to achieve. You're looking for causal explanations. So something can't occur for no reason at all. That's why Einstein didn't like quantum mechanics, right? He said that God doesn't play dice with the universe. It's not random. It's not causeless. Yeah, so from a conventional perspective, no, magic is impossible. And by the same token, psychic phenomena are also impossible.
Talking about your research, Dean, let me ask you, as you were talking in the last segment, I had a phrase pop through my mind, spooky action at a distance. Does that figure into your research?
Well, that phrase is referring to quantum entanglement.
Right.
And quantum entanglement might be related to psi. I mean, after all of the psychic phenomena are considered strange for one reason and one reason only. It's because they involve experiences that are not bound by space or time. Well, exactly the same thing can be said for quantum entanglement. It's not bound by space or time. So the question is this a coincidence that psychic phenomena and quantum entanglement are talking about the same kind of outside of space-time effect? It might be a coincidence. My personal guess is it is not a coincidence. It's just saying that there's aspects of physicality that are taking place outside of our everyday notion of space and time, and that includes experience. Our experience outside of space and time is what we call magic, and it is what we call psychic phenomena. It's the same thing.
I think that a lot of people would consider this, what Einstein famously called the spooky action at a distance, was solved, or at least resolved, demystified by John Bell.
No, I would put it slightly differently. I would say that John Bell's contribution was finding a way of proving whether or not it was real or not.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But it only deepened the mystery because nobody at this point has a sense of what kind of ontology this spaceless, timeless domain means. There's at least 12 different interpretations of quantum mechanics, all
right,
of which are struggling with the notion of what do we think we mean by reality.
By the way, I'm going to give that right there. What you just said is exactly what I'm thinking is we don't have the ability to handle this mentally. I'd like you to hear more on that because that's what I think. I think that the reality that we live in, that we are familiar with, is just so far beyond our intuition. And that's the real problem. The real problem is not that the rules aren't followed. It's that it's an entirely different type of ontology than what we are evolved to think of.
Right. But now consider that most people, most of the time, imagine that reality is common sense. That means it's coming through the common senses. But we now take it for granted that there are planets up there and there's a sun and the earth is round and all that stuff. You don't get that through common sense. We only get that because our common senses have been extended through telescopes and microscopes and other instruments. The nature of common sense changes as we get better ways of understanding, of extending the senses. And so we haven't reached the end of our development of instruments either. We keep developing new instruments that extend what we mean by common sense. So if we project that out into the future, I think we'll eventually end up with instruments that will radically change what we think of as common sense. When you imagine that as a Venn diagram that just keeps getting bigger and bigger, my prediction then is, as one of the chapters in my book is on this very topic, my prediction is that eventually the Venn diagram will include what used to be called magic. It won't be considered magic at that point because we'll understand it, but it will include those kinds of phenomena.
Right. Well, sorry. Gene, my mind's blown. I need to think for a minute.
Well, you know what? We have that problem all the time where our minds are blown from all these things. And that makes it more and more difficult.
Yeah, it does.
This, by the way, is something that especially happens not so much for spooky action at a distance in space, because we're used to thinking of where we can call somebody a cell phone and they're far away. It's no big deal. But if you really want to hurt your brain, you start thinking about extension through time. Because as we know from quantum mechanics, that entanglement works just as well through time as it does through space. And the same is true for psychic phenomena. As best as we can tell, there's no limit in space or time to how far these connections can go experientially. So one of the things I try to push in the book is showing that even concepts in magic, like making things happen, that we have tools now, protocols and experiments that begin to give us a clue about how those things can work. And a lot of it has to do with a different understanding of the nature of time. If you thought what we're talking about at this point makes your brain hurt, that really makes your brain hurt to such an extent that it's difficult even among colleagues who are working out these protocols to continue to bang away at this problem because it is so difficult, so far outside of ordinary ways of thinking, but it can be done. It just requires us to be clever.
And the thing is that it makes sense that we don't have that kind of mechanism to think in this life. I mean, we don't require that for, you know, the entire however many, you know, millions of years that our species has come into being. It doesn't require that. I mean, there are a lot of things that we've developed, a lot of intuitional type of things like, you know, being able to see faces in random patterns is because, evolutionary speaking, if you had a face staring at you, that was meant that wasn't something that was going to attack you and eat you and kill you. So, you know, anything that had bilateral symmetry, you know, and had eyes and it was staring at you was, for a long period of time, was a threat. And, you know, that's the thing is that we are not necessarily evolved to understand, which is what you're set to your point. We have to extend our intuition through instruments and through different models. And some of them are extremely anti-intuitive. I mean, to this day, you know, I look at the Stern-Gerlach experiment and I think it's extremely anti-intuitive. I mean, even the way Julian Swinger explains it in his book, it's extremely anti-intuitive. And he knows that by giving you that example and showing you, you know, he's explaining the measurement problem.
We're going to have other problems with time and space and ads. We have Dean Radin, author of Real Magic. We have Don Ecker of Dark Matters Radio, the one and original. Accept no substitutes. And Michael Allen, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Let me throw out an interesting topic here. I'm a regular guy. Most people will say I'm not, but say I'm a regular guy. And I want to try something magical or explore magic. What should I do? I mean, we have all those fantasy stories where somebody tries magic and they get involved in something they shouldn't have done and they have to deal with all sorts of weird stuff. That's fiction. As a matter of fact, how do I get involved in magic as just a regular guy?
I would recommend for most people to not do that. As with any time you're dealing with a practice that has the chance of shattering your belief system, it's important, especially not to do it by yourself, but at least to do it with somebody who seems to have experience and some wisdom about what they're doing. And that is especially in the case with ceremonial magic, because people can freak out easily. So if the easy way to do this is just writing magic. I was more or less forced by my editor to put in a chapter on how to do practical magic, because that's what people are interested in. So writing magic is one of the oldest forms of magic. It basically says that if you want to have something occur, you write down on a piece of paper the thing that you want. That's writing magic. It brings in several characteristics of magical practice, one of which is casting a spell. So a spell has two meanings to it. When you cast a magical spell, you're casting out into the world your intention, and you wish that intention to take place. But if you think about what you're doing in writing, you are spelling, you are putting letters together in a symbolic way, which stand for, symbolically, the thing that you want. So if you wanted to get a cat, for example, you would spell C-A-T. And by doing that, you're drawing the intention into being. So the other variety of spell casting is that you draw. you draw a symbol of a cat. It's called a sigil in magical practice. And in that case, the word draw has two meanings. You are drawing a symbol, and you are drawing the thing that you want toward you, like pulling it toward you. So this aspect of magic is basically saying that reality is in some sense informational or symbolic. And so if you create a symbol for something, it is resonating with the thing itself. And if it's a strong enough resonance, you will pull it into being. That's the idea of sympathetic magic. So this is why affirmations are so popular. There's a huge book category of affirmations which are talking about the same thing. And you can see this all the way through history. People have been using the same technique to have a very clear sense of the thing that you want. You write it down, you make a symbol, you can do various kinds of ceremonial practices to establish the reality of the thing that you want. And then there are various ways of so-called charging that symbol, usually with emotion, or with ceremonies or rituals. And then you let it go, and it creates the equivalent, an analog of something like a gravitational pull. It pulls it into being. So that's an easy and relatively safe way of practicing magic.
I've been studying the paranormal for decades. And one thing, and I personally would not have one of these devices in my home, but one of the things that many, many people that have really no knowledge or experience about will utilize something called a Ouija board, okay? And I have been exposed to many, many articles, stories, and testimony about the negative effects that can happen with a device of that type. Where do you come down on this? I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about.
So the danger of a Ouija board is that it allows your unconscious to express itself in a way that you may not be prepared for. So, but it's the Ouija board is nothing magical by itself. A pendulum can be used. The I Ching can act in the same way. There are lots of divination methods that are all doing the same kind of thing. It allows your unconscious to be expressed. Especially for younger people, there will be some percentage, 1 or 2% of people doing this, who are harboring unconsciously fears and emotions that they are consciously suppressing. And they can become psychotic as a result of unleashing this part of their unconscious and making it manifest, meaning making it show up in front of them. So this is another example of why I recommend that in cases of theurgy, talking to spirits, trying to evoke spirits, all of that stuff should really be done under adult supervision, and particularly adults who know what they're doing, because of the danger of a small percentage of people freaking out really seriously in a bad way and may not be able to recover from it. This doesn't mean that you're literally evoking evil coming down upon you. It's more like your internal sense of not having complete control over who we think we are. We're multi-layered, and most of the time we just live in the very tippy-top layer, which is the thing that we call me or you, but there's a lot more below that.
So I have a question, because you talked about the Ouija board. It's not necessarily magical, and yet there's something magical that maybe happens in the process of using a Ouija board. I guess we can both agree to that point. So my question is, where does the magical begin and the non-magical end?
Okay, so that's a very good question, and it is relevant to what happens with the Ouija board. As far as I can tell, we're talking about magic being a very deep level of consciousness. It's not at the surface level. It's not the everyday level of awareness. It's a very deep level. It happens at what a magician would call gnosis, or what a yogi would call samadhi, or what a mystic would call a mystical experience. It's very deep levels of reality, which is related in some way to consciousness. So the danger of a Ouija board is that because you can dissociate your conscious awareness from your unconscious, you help your unconscious appear as a result of what's happening with the planchette on the Ouija board, you are tapping into a deeper portion of your awareness. And if you don't know what you're doing at that level, you can allow self-destructive processes to come out. So we already have destructive processes where we're eating a cookie and we know that we shouldn't, but you find your hand reaching for the cookie anyway. That's your unconscious, your body that's overcoming your impulse control and making you do something that you don't want to do. Well, the same thing would happen in this case, that if you're unleashing aspects of your unconscious, which may be self-destructive, you're asking for trouble.
So what you're saying is that the magical is kind of like a feedback through consciousness. I guess what I'm trying to ask is, are you making an ontological distinction between something in the magical realm and something in the world? I'm going to say the world is the mental and the physical, the world we live in.
There's no strict distinction. Okay. There's a spectrum. The top of the spectrum we can think of as above the surface of the ocean. So when you look at what looks like an iceberg, you know that there's a huge amount underneath there. So think of this as a parallel with something about physics. Classical physics is above the water. Conscious awareness is above the water. When you dive just below the surface, you bump into the beginnings of quantum mechanics. You bump into the beginnings of your unconscious. But we don't know how far down it goes. It probably goes down as far as we can imagine. But now think of a metaphor of a bubble at a very, very deep in the ocean. And now when the bubble comes up, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger because atmospheric pressure is changing. And by the same token, if you have an intention at a very deep level of consciousness, it could start out as the equivalent of a tiny little bubble, but by the time it reaches the surface, it could be monstrous.
The Pause That Refreshes, Dean Radin, Michael Allen, Don Ecker, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
This is Dan Pillett. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Star Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, June 1st through the 4th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton-Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Corey Good, Doc Wallach, and more. Get tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
I didn't want to make that silly joke, Dean, about the monster.
That's all right.
Can you create, under magic, something that just comes into existence that wasn't there?
You mean like a tulpa, Gene?
Sure. Well, the tulpa or the golem is there. It's just not animated. I would consider that as a form of black magic. In fact, that is black magic. You're taking two forms. One is you're getting other people to do something that they may not want to do. That's black magic. The other one is to animate something that is not living. And so as an interesting sidebar here, in 2010, when the Supreme Court made corporations persons through Citizens United, that from a magical perspective was black magic. And just as you have with the idea of a golem, that the hope with a golem is that you can get this thing of clay to act on your behalf. But sometimes it gets a mind of its own and it will start destroying things, like the Frankenstein story. Well, it looks like Citizens United has taken on a life of its own and is, in some respects, destroying the country.
A mind of its own. I mean, it's interesting that you should say that. So much in the world that we look at ourselves and we could consider ourselves as the universe making a mind of its own. I mean, we are a product of the universe. The universe is just there.
Let me ask you, because from what I've heard so far during this program, I'm kind of getting two signals from you, okay, from the way you're describing magic and magical practices. On the one hand, there may be something that a practitioner can utilize from outside. But then I'm getting the impression that basically what you're saying is everything flows from within the practitioner here or herself. In other words, to coin a phrase from a 1950s sci-fi movie, Monsters of the Id, do you discount all possibility of exterior influences and basically state that everything is flowing from within the individual, himself or herself?
Well, ultimately, I think the magic is coming from consciousness. That is where the magic resides. However, you could take a psychedelic, which is a real physical thing, and that will alter your conscious perception of reality and perhaps push you further down, metaphorically speaking.
Well, you can do the same thing with a bottle of tequila, but
right. Well, the tequila will suppress I mean, it acts as a sedative, and that's not where you want to go. But yes, in principle, anything which pushes you out of an ordinary state of awareness is going to improve psychic ability and probably magical ability too.
Well, I think what we're forgetting right here, you know, we've been talking about magic, but I think there's a fundamental theory about how it works, and I'm wondering what that is. I mean, there has to be something that makes it understandable to us in terms. I'm not going to call them mental. I'm not going to call them physical. I'm just going to call them, it's just some terms that we can intuitively understand. And what is that?
That is consciousness. That's
what
it is.
But what is consciousness?
Well, that we don't know. But what we do know is that what you enjoy as your experience, as your sense of awareness, I call little c, consciousness with a little c.
Right.
But what the esoteric traditions say, and all of them basically, we're talking about 10,000 years of history, they all say that ultimately consciousness with a big C is universal. There's some kind of universal consciousness. What you enjoy with a little c inside your head is the same stuff. It's made out of the same stuff. And you see this, and virtually every religion has this, every esoteric practice, they all say the same thing. This is absolutely far away from the current scientific worldview.
I would disagree with that. I mean, I know a lot of scientists or science people, I won't call them scientists, but I know a lot of people who do not take that viewpoint. They realize that the mental and the physical and the universe itself is all one thing, and it's not something you can divide into, you can segment. And what we consider to be physical is not necessarily something that's fully understood just because we can give names to it. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you partially. I mean, I'm just saying that there are a lot of people that I've met whose ontology has developed beyond the Cartesian dualism of the, you know, of the 18th century, the 19th century, and so forth. And I think that's the biggest problem. That's one of the biggest problems that we have.
Well, I agree that most scientists are monists, and the two directions that we're talking about then is materialism, which is what the scientific worldview is based on. The other side, though, is idealism. So basically what I'm saying is that magic makes a lot of sense from an idealist point of view. It makes no sense at all from a materialistic point of view.
But what is matter? Except for a bunch of labels that we place on, you know, we call it an electron. Do we even know what an electron is? We can describe it. We can talk about its quantum mechanical properties. We can say that it interacts with a proton. I think the problem here, Dean, is that a lot of people assume that when you start labeling things and talking about a handful of relationships that they're able to gather from their equipment, is that that somehow is the sum and total of all being. And I think that's the real problem.
Well, yeah, it's a language problem. But still, most scientists are taught that ultimately, to go down to the bottom of everything, we're talking about matter and energy as the fundamental. And
right.
This is one of the reasons why, and when you start from that as a baseline, that in the neurosciences, it is believed, or at least it's taught, that your awareness comes out of the brain activity. And that's the end of the story. So if that is the way that the neurosciences have proceeded, that ultimately you are made out of neurons, which are made out of atoms ultimately, and made out of energy ultimately, and that's it. This is why within the mainstream scientific viewpoint, consciousness is really not that important. It's like at the tail end of this system of emergence. It starts with atoms or quanta or something like that.
Well, there's a lot of people that I've met that, and, you know, I won't name any names, but they, you know, I've often told them, I said, it would not be hard for matter to exhibit consciousness from and we're an example of that. And so they say, well, I can never imagine, they can imagine, for instance, that our brains with the neurons and all of our synapses can have consciousness, but they can't imagine an FPGA with NAND gates having the same. And I asked them, well, what's the difference? and they never can give me an answer. Right. I mean, in other words, I think that fundamentally consciousness is something that pervades the entire universe, and that's how we came into being. Because how else would we come into being if there's not consciousness in the universe? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So, what you're saying now is completely new. It's a new way of thinking, because even 20 years ago, you would have been laughed at by most scientists. And that is the one of the main points in the book is to point out that when at the leading edge of science today, there's a growing realization that what used to be thought of as we live in a purely materialistic world and all there is matter and energy, that idea is going away fast. And what's interesting is that it's going away fast and in the direction that will accommodate the idea of magic. That's why I'm saying that we're looking at the future of science here, not the past of magic, because we didn't know what else to call it.
I'm going to stay in the same church, but I'm going to go to a different pew, okay?
It's the 42nd pew, Don.
This will give him time to consider his answer. As we do this show today, we've just recently lost several very noteworthy people. They have passed on. Now, there are those who say that once you are gone, you are gone. We're talking about things like consciousness. Where do you fall down on what happens when the human body itself expires? Is there a continuation in your belief structure?
We're going to have an answer as we move forward, final third of this episode, with Dean, Gene, it rhymes, Michael. Don, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.